The formal celebration of victory came later, when the last of the enemy had been scoured from the system, when 5 of the 6 Ansible platforms were back in service and the 6th was being rebuilt. Nexus's government had allied with the other governments. But Nexus no longer centered human space in the minds of most. For even ISC formally agreed its monopoly on Ansible communication was broken. The Space Defense Force had the support of nearly all governments, from Lastway to Sibylla, 4 systems hubward from Moray. Bissonnette was already free, its Ansible back in operation. Without Turek's influence, his associates had fled with what wealth they could. Only the anti-Humod worlds refused to join. Now the main celebration, on Cascadia in the Moscow Confederation, would be mirrored elsewhere. Victory parades, speeches, awards ceremonies, dinners. Rafe, leaving Penny behind on Nexus, had come to Cascadia to take part in the negotiations that would determine ISC's place in the new order. And tonight was the opportunity he had most wanted. A grand reception in honor of Kai Vada and all the militaries that had combined in what was now known as the Battle of Nexus. Rafe went down to the car in a mood he himself knew was dangerous. The reception honoring Admiral Vada and the forces under her command was no place for intimate conversation. If he saw Kai and shook her hand, it would be the most he could hope for. In that direction. In another direction, the evening promised to afford him an opportunity to indulge himself as he had not done for far too long. Something even better than killing Xenarthos. Someone richly deserved a hiding. His thoughts halted abruptly as he saw who was in the car waiting.
You're up to something, and it's not good. I'm assigning myself as your bodyguard at the reception tonight.
No, you're not. You quit, remember?
I haven't left yet.
Gary signaled the driver, and they set off for Government House.
Consider this my last night of duty. If you behave yourself, I'll be on the flight home tomorrow. And trust me, you don't want to disappoint my wife. She's expecting me for Hannah's birthday party.
I don't need a bodyguard inside with me.
Rafe didn't want anyone inside with him, not for this event. He checked his appearance in the mirror on the front of the passenger compartment. The formal shirt, with its elaborate silk tie. The formal coat, with its wider satin lapels and gold buttons. The silk vest. The right pale gray gloves. Shoes polished to perfection. Under it, he wore light armor, as always, but the clothes were tailored to conceal that.
It's a reception, for pity's sake. Military personnel. Government.
Snakes, most of them. And you're wearing your protection, aren't you?
Of course. I feel naked without it. But they're not going to attack the head of ISC in front of everyone while swilling champagne, raiding the buffet and bragging about their exploits.
Rafe put on his most beguiling smile and beamed at Gary.
No problems, and no reason for you to accompany me at all, let alone inside. And I didn't put in for a badge for you in any case.
But you're up to something and you want to cause trouble. Don't bother to lie, Sonny. I can read you like a book.
This, Rafe knew, was unfortunately true.
The war's over. The company's crawling back into the black. I hear from my sources that the board is now in the palm of your hand. But you're lit up like a marker beacon. Is it something your lady would approve of?
The car slowed to a crawl behind others making their way up the driveway of Government House.
I don't know what you're talking about. But I'm not going to appear so fearful that I need a bodyguard in there. You had your chance to put in surveillance equipment. That will have to do.
Boyle, I don't know what it is, but you're in a killing mood. And I'm not the only one who will read it that way. Whatever it is, don't do it.
Rafe allowed himself to subside into his ISC identity. All civilian CEO and business.
I'm in the mood to celebrate a victory. The champagne is in there. And I'm out here.
You may fool 80% of them, but you won't fool them all. Where should I station the reserves for when the blood starts flying?
There will be no blood. There is more than one way to kill.
Money? Family? Or that woman?
Rafe shook his head. Gary touched his in a brief salute.
She is worth it. I will say that.
As Gary took his station in the foyer of the ballrooms, Rafe presented his ID and invitation to the liveried servants at the door. Guards, he noted. And armed as well as decorative. and went into the first of the linked rooms. He passed through the receiving line, polite handshakes, nods, murmurs of conventional courtesy. Kai's smile seemed genuine. He bent to kiss her hand, and she flushed a little. But as he'd expected, they had no time for more, as the line behind him stretched to the door and beyond. Good. She should be stuck there long enough. With any luck, he'd be able to complete his other mission and get back to her before she had reason to wonder where he was. Somewhere in this crowd, Rafe knew, he would find the Slaughter Key junior officer he most wanted to find. With consummate skill, he had extracted the crew list from each Slaughter Key ship as it arrived. And on one, he had seen the name. Hal Coughlin, once a classmate of Kai's, now a sub-lieutenant on Bailey's Reef. That Hal. He'd obtained an image of the man's face by means circuitous even for him, and it was now in his implant, easy to compare with every face he saw. He was sure that Kai would not approve of what he intended, which meant he could not ask openly about the man. Someone would be certain to tell her anything the head of ISC seemed to find of interest. On his search, he spoke politely to admirals and colonels and ship captains by the dozen, nodded politely to others from Nexus, Cascadia, Moray, Sabine, Slaughter Key. The rooms were large, crowded, and interconnected so that the crowd could circulate. New arrivals coming in by one entrance, wandering past the cluster of dignitaries and most senior military, to the long tables loaded with food and drink, and then on to the other two ballrooms. Junior officers, he suspected, would hang around the serving tables and then find corners where they could talk without being overheard by their seniors. Hal might be the kind of suck-up toady who'd stick near his boss. But Rafe had eyed the name tag of every such youngster he'd seen near a senior rank and hadn't found him. In the first corner he investigated, he found Teddy Ransom holding court for an admiring throng of juniors from Cascadia. Rafe eyed the dashing Teddy without enthusiasm. He would like to have despised him for being all flash, but Ransom had performed well. The next looked more promising, an almost solid phalanx of Slaughter Key Space Force uniforms. Rafe paused a safe distance away, pretending to sip his drink while looking for the face matching the image in his implant. But it was not until he spotted a young officer edging along the wall, clearly making for the exit, that he found him. He was tall, square-jawed, conventionally good-looking, the sort Rafe categorized as a young girl's fantasy prince. Much like Teddy Ransom, for that matter, though dark-haired. Rafe himself had been good-looking, had even played on such fantasies, something he abhorred now. But he had no tolerance for it in other young men, especially not in young men who had mistreated Kai. Years of experience moved Rafe through the crowd faster than the young man. He caught up with him in the least crowded room near the exit.
You're Hal Coughlin, aren't you?
Yes, sir. You're Sarah Dunbarter, head of ISC, aren't you?
Rafe smiled. The young man didn't flinch, which meant he was projecting what he meant to. Older man of the world, politely interested in a younger one.
That's right, yes. You're from Slaughter Key, are you not? I believe I am right in recognizing that uniform.
Hal straightened slightly, the young officer aware of his duty to make a good impression for his service.
Yes, sir.
Good. I had heard that you knew Admiral Vada back on Slaughter Key.
Well, we were at Space Force Academy at the same time. I can't say we knew each other.
Oh, really? I find that interesting, since she certainly told me about you. In fact, I understand that you were in the same class.
Well, yes, but...
And exchanged class rings. Unless, of course, you wish to accuse Admiral Vada of lying...
Hal's eyes wavered back and forth, but no escape route appeared. Behind him, one or two uniformed men had slowed, paused, to see what was going on. Rafe let himself smile his most dangerous smile, and Hal stepped back a half pace.
No, she's not lying. It's just we were very young then.
And you, my boy, are very young still. It never occurred to you, did it, that she might be your commanding officer someday? When you sent that rather, how shall I put it, disgusting missive, discarding her like soiled tissue?
I didn't mean it that way.
Rafe watched the pulse now pounding in Hal's throat, the sheen of moisture on his brow, with clinical interest. Beyond Hal, more men and women had slowed to listen,